Please remain standing, and if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, we will be looking at John 10, starting in verse 1. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you give us the eyes of discernment here today. I pray, O Lord, that you help us to hear the message that your Holy Spirit would have us to take away from this portion of your instruction book. I pray, O Lord, that you bless me, that I represent you improperly in all that I say here. In Jesus' name, amen. John 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." You may be seated. You know, as we come again to the study of John, we're entering into the 10th chapter. But in reality, this is just a continuation from the 9th chapter. You know, and it's a discussion that Jesus is having, and he's throwing more and more light onto that discussion. And the discussion, you know, let's look at the end of chapter 9 and verse 39. It says, "Jesus said, 'For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me see may see, and those who see may be blind.' Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, 'Are we also blind?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains.'" You know, Jesus is making a comparison. You know, he's telling these Pharisees, because you think, you believe that you are the enlightened ones and you do not know me. You don't know my teachings. You will not follow in my teachings. You will not receive salvation. Your guilt will remain on you because you think you know it all, is basically what he's saying. But these being the leaders, We know that they were the false shepherds, the ones leading the people of Israel away. So what Jesus is doing here, he's preparing for this comparison of a good shepherd and a shepherd who isn't good, a false shepherd. So this is a continuation. It will be continued on throughout the book of John because it will lead up to the point where these people hate Jesus so much that they want to kill him because he is exposing them. And in so doing, he is exposing himself to the people who he is. But I think to understand this word picture, we have to understand a little bit about how shepherds were. I know I don't think any of us are shepherds. Well, Yvonne had a few sheep. I don't think she was out in the field all the time with them. But back then, everybody could understand this simile. They could understand it because it was such a part of their life. The shepherds would spend all day out in the fields with the sheep. And the sheep had to eat every day, so it didn't matter what the weather was. So it was a hard life. But then at night, you know, each village, they'd have one or more of these sheep pens or sheep folds. And they would bring their flocks into here. And there was a narrow opening, the door, where the sheep would go in one at a time. And that way the shepherd could kind of inspect them, see if any were lame or anything. But the shepherds of that village, how many there were, would bring their flocks to the sheep fold. You know, a bigger town may have a few of them, but what it meant was many sheep were mingled together in here. And it was for protection. Protection from robbers, protection from animals, beasts that would kill them. But once these sheep were in, there was a hired man, the gatekeeper, the porter. And his job was to stand in that opening and make sure that no sheep went out, none would be lost, and the only people who could take the sheep out would be the shepherds, the legitimate shepherds. And again, it was for protection. In the morning, the shepherds would come and take them out to graze, and repeat the same thing. And they would wander around the different villages, different areas, seeking pasture. The one constant thing was they wanted to protect the sheep at night. And if robbers came to try and steal the sheep, they had to get past the porter. Or else they would sneak over the wall and they would kill a sheep and drag it out, trying to do it quietly. That's why it says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But that's kind of the picture that we have here. And that's what Jesus is using. And then as we start this, we see the importance of this lesson. When Jesus says, truly, truly, he's making a bold statement. He's saying, this is how it is. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Again, Jesus is stressing the importance of this teaching. But here is what he's also saying. You know, this is church history. There's always going to be two camps. There's going to be those who come to destroy people. Satan and his minions will try to deceive people. They may even pretend to be shepherds, but their actions demonstrate they're destructive. And there are the good shepherds, the church and its faithful shepherds, its faithful people. And they will be a blessing to the flock. Their heart will be toward God's people. There'll be an advantage to God's people. The most difficult thing for us is to discern who is who. Who is a good shepherd? Who is a false shepherd? And that is a struggle throughout church history. It's a struggle right here in Israel at this time. It will be a struggle in the future. Those two camps, all fighting for the souls of men and women. You know, the people of the Old Testament at that time had no trouble knowing when Jesus was talking about the good shepherd. And he didn't refer to himself until verse 11. That's why up further it says they weren't sure what he was saying. They understood what a shepherd was when it was referring to spiritual leadership. In Psalm 77:20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 79:13, but we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. In Psalm 95:7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The people understood spiritually what a shepherd would be to them. Those lessons are for us as well. Now, they were led by Moses out of Egypt. And it tells us, led the flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's clear that Jesus was speaking a language that the people understood at that time. What he is saying, you know, there's a time where the new covenant comes in, but there is always a constant. It's God leading his people. That will not change. It will not change. It never has. There is leadership in place, just as there is now, but it is God who is the good shepherd leading them. It is God who is near to them. It is God who has their best interest in mind. A God who is not only willing to lay down his life for the sheep, but actually did lay his life down for the people. You know, that's the good shepherd we see in this picture. He has the right to call his people. He has ownership. But you know what? When he calls, his people recognize him. They know him. They know him because they know his teachings. They hear his voice. They believe his teachings. The scriptures become real to him. And it's an intimate relationship. He calls them by name. Isn't that assuring to us that our God is so personal that not a hair can fall from our head? He knows our very thoughts. He calls us by name. But he is much more than that. He is much more than that. You know, verse 7 tells us that. He's not just a good shepherd. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the only way to salvation. There is no other way to the Father except through the Son. Again, he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the flock, his people. His people. Now what happens? What happens when we are saved by this good shepherd? Well, our hearts and our minds are so transformed that we can hear his voice through the scriptures. And when we hear that voice, our lives change from self-interest to God-interest. The supernatural occurrence, it drives us to love his word, to seek out more knowledge concerning him. Because we know when we seek out his word and follow his word, learn from his word and mature, it is to our benefit and the benefit of his people, this church. And in time, all of us should cry out like David, Oh Lord, how do I love your law and your precepts? And that law will have an effect on our lives, will have an effect on our very souls, and will affect our daily affairs because we have been transformed. It tells us, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved. But not only that, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Now, this goes so beautifully along with Romans 8. I'm going to read that also, part of it. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. By whom we cry, our shepherd. But we will go in and out and find pasture. You know, once saved, that door will never, we cannot back out of that door. Once saved, that's for eternity. So what's Jesus saying here? We will go in and out, and we will find pasture. We will go out into the world. We go into the church. We find feeding in the church. We find feeding in the world. We look at the world differently. Our hearts are transformed. We see God in everything that we see, even in the world. The church is our disciple. The world is our disciple. The trials of life, we feed on them. We see it in our prayers today. All these prayer requests. That's finding good pasture in God. You're relying on God. We go out, we receive that common grace that gives God, that God gives to all men. But we go out with such assurance because we have that safety net underneath us at all times. The trials and the difficulties of this world will not depart from us. However, they will not completely overburden us, because we know that all things work together for those who love God. They work for good. That God is working in even the difficulties. It's because our attitudes have changed. You know, we keep focused on the most important thing, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. How does this trial fit into my relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, that is how Christians who were tossed in the Colosseum could go singing hymns. Look at those cards in back. Those are Christians being killed today. Yet they can go peacefully to their death because they know the Holy Spirit assures them that what is in Romans 8 is true. Verse 18, for Christ, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You know, saints, that's how we are to live. But notice it doesn't say we won't have sufferings. It doesn't say we won't have difficulties. It doesn't say come to Jesus and life will be perfect and grand and you'll never have a problem in your life again. It's just saying that there is something far greater and that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. As we continue on in the verse 8, this is what the shepherd does for us as he leads us. Verse 8 in Romans. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God, our good shepherd, is for us, who can be against us? He who died, who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who can bring a charge against God's people? It will be a false charge when we're portraying him faithfully. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of the God, of our God, who indeed is interceding for us. Our shepherd is interceding for us. Follow me. Follow me. This is the correct path. This is the correct thing to do. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall the tribulation of the prayers we heard this morning? You're here. You're praising God. Distress, the distress, the illnesses we see, the illnesses in Andy's dad, the illnesses of that young lady. Do we throw up our hands and say, where is God? No, we pray to that God. Persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But you know what? We have that shepherd leading us. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're already victorious. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what our good shepherd has done for us. That is what our good shepherd is doing for us. But you know what? He has implanted those divine truths into our hearts to give us comfort to our soul in times of difficulties. He is continually working in our lives, which should result with us that we should be the most joyous people. A people who rejoice. A people who are content in their circumstances. Because we know even in these difficulties, we have that safety net underneath us. The good shepherd's grace. The loving shepherd that paid our debt by laying down his life for the sheep. He makes it clear in verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. No, Jesus Christ died for us. What are we to do for each other? Are we willing to give our lives, portions of our lives, for the benefit of others? As a church, as Christians, we must seek out and follow leaders who have our best interest, the best interest of our souls in their mind. How do we know this? How is that achieved? It tells us in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. First off, the leaders. Any church leader has to be a follower themselves, a follower of Jesus Christ. They have to be a disciple. They have to have that new birth and a maturity through the sanctification to present the truths of the Good Shepherd to others. They must be faithful in presenting God's word in its entirety and clearly. That's a bad time to stumble on that, isn't it? So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, that's that truth that sets us free to be in the world, to come in and out of the world, and not be of the world. But you know, that truth not only set the leaders free, all of us who come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ are disciples. Whether we're being taught by somebody else, they're sharpening iron and iron. Just the fact that we show up to church, it's a testimony to others that we're different, that we believe. But you know, we are in this world. We are continually surrounded, both the leaders, any believer. Don't ever hold a leader up above temptation. Don't ever think we're holier than thou. We're not. We're surrounded by the same pollution and temptations as everybody else. However, it's like we have a hazardous protection suit on when we're believers. The stain of sin will be repelled. Our suits, the sinful nature, will be stained. They'll be tattered, they'll be worn. But the spotlessness of our soul from the work of Christ will remain pure. And that is the part where we continually hear the shepherd's call. Our shepherd's word will abide in us. You know, God leaves his saints in this world. He doesn't take us out. Tells us, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." John 17:15. The good shepherd is leading and protecting us from the evil one. Faithful shepherds protect their flock from the evil one, because they hear God's voice and they lead the flock according to God's will, not their own. A very difficult task. But you know, Purcell and I will never lose one of the elect. John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." We'll be faithful preachers. When we're faithful and in the Word, and if people don't come to abide in that Word, if we're faithful shepherds, we're faithful Christians, and we witness to people, and people do not come, it's because they have not heard God's calling. It's out of our control. We're called to be faithful. The success is God's. But why are you guys here? You have difficulties in life. I know you do. But yet you come, and you come, and you come. It's because you keep hearing God's call. Come and be fed. Come and be fed. You know, and what Purcell and I, when we stick to God's word, and I'm thankful that we have a consistency that makes sure we stick to God's word. There's many mature Christians here. If we go off base, they're going to say something, and we appreciate it. But you will be fed. But you know what? Sometimes it feels like eating castor oil. don't know if any of you ever had to have castor oil. I had to drink a cup and a half one time for some medical procedure. Very tough thing to get down, believe me. But maybe that is what you need sometimes, is a message that you kind of choke on. Be like the Bereans. Look it up. See if it's biblical. Then contend with God with it. Seek out the discernment concerning God's truths. Because if we're being biblical, you're being fed, whether you don't like the taste or not. We will be tempted to stray. We will get attracted by shiny objects, some new theory in religion. But for the true believer, that journey will be short down that road. A stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You will be able to discern more and more as we mature as believers. We'll see some of the fluffy teachings just for what they are. Ploys by Satan to deceive the flock, to kill, to destroy, to mangle God's people. You know, saints, as we go through this world of difficulties and trials, pain and suffering, disappointments and death, blessed victories and joy, what constant marks the path of the believer? It's their faithful pursuit, their faithful attendance of church, their faithful pursuit of God's word. No matter where they are in this life. We've seen it many times with the losses of lives in this church. The prayer requests that we have for those going through struggles. We don't throw up our arms. We drop to our knees. Because we hear that call, follow me, follow me. And it is a call that a true believer cannot deny. Let us pray. Lord God, teach us to hear your call. Amen.